Final design for the Alaska Class ferry is expected soon, and how the lackluster winter might affect the season's biggest industry. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. Final design for the Alaska Class ferry is expected to be complete by the end of this month, clearing the way for the state to award a construction contract to a shipyard this summer. Department of Transportation Deputy Commissioner Ruben Yost says the state has preliminary estimates from Alaska Ship and Dry Dock in Ketchikan and Elliott Bay Design Group of Seattle. If the shipyard and architect are close on the final estimate, Yost says the ferries will be built in Ketchikan.
When we have the contract design complete, we will get estimates from both entities. That's in early March. And then based on that, we will either be negotiating a maximum price with the shipyard or we will be advertising.
In late 2012, when Governor Sean Parnell announced the scaled-down Alaska-class ferry design, he said his goal was to have Alaskans build Alaska's ferries in Alaska. In House Transportation Committee meeting Tuesday, Sitka Representative Jonathan Christ-Tompkins asked Yost what factors the department will weigh when deciding whether to award the contract to Alaska Ship and Dry Dock or go outside.
I think everybody's got a vested interest in seeing the vessel built in Alaska. Presumably, we would still build the vessel in Alaska even if the maximum price is a little bit higher than competitor shipyards in the lower 48 just because we're keeping dollars in state. But do you have any sense of how big that discrepancy has to get before you would look at awarding the contract to an out-of-state shipyard?
Yost said the most important thing is for the project to stay within its $117 million budget.
If we faced a situation where we had very strong evidence that the vessel could be built within the existing budget out-of-state through a competitive bid process, but not at the Ketchikan shipyard, then we would have to seriously consider whether we would continue with this process.
According to Yost, Alaska Ship and Dry Dock and Elliott Bay Design Group are bound by confidentiality agreements that prevent them from sharing cost estimates with each other. He said the state hopes to award a contract by June, with the first ferry completed by mid-2016 and the second vessel by mid-2017. The 280-foot Alaska-class ferries will be used primarily in Lynn Canal and on shorter Alaska Marine Highway System routes in Southeast. The vessels will be able to carry up to 300 passengers and 53 vehicles. Initially, the Parnell administration wanted open car decks on the boats, but the design was changed after input from public and ferry designers. The sun and dry conditions these last few weeks might seem to be tricking us into spring, but there are still plenty of people hoping that winter returns from vacation and blankets the area again. And nobody hopes that more than those in the skiing business. There was scuttlebutt around Haines that the heli-ski season was in danger of being called off for lack of snow. Scott Sundberg with Southeast Alaska Backcountry Adventures says that's not quite true. He hasn't lost hope yet, but he's done some flyovers of the mountains and runs where he brings clients, and it wasn't a snowy sight.
We knew that there'd been failures in the snowpack. I mean, we're expecting to see some of that. We could see stuff from the road. I mean, you could see stuff. And it looked pretty bad. I mean, we lost 10 to 12 feet of snow in some areas. A lot of crevassing was open. And, you know, a lot of standard runs have large-scale avalanches through them.
Sundberg said if absolutely no new snow arrives, SEBA might consider postponing or calling off the season. But he's not making that decision yet. He has clients booked, and his helicopter and guides are expected in town on February 24th to begin a week of training. He's going to keep that schedule, he says. But as for when clients will be able to hit the slopes, that's up to Mother Nature and whether she will be bringing any more snow to the area.
Some areas only need 4 or 5 feet in 6 weeks. Some areas need that full 10 to 12, and that's mainly the glaciated areas that we're dealing with crevasse networks.
Sundberg said the problem isn't just stemming from this season.
The other thing that's really compounded our situation right now is in 2013, we had 40% of normal snowpack. And in the summer was so hot and it melted so much fern and ice that the glaciers did do some shifting. And then you throw this, you know, January meltdown on top of it. It just is, it's hard to make up for all that. It's kind of a snow drought.
So what sort of dosage of snow is needed to get the heliski season off and running?
What we need is about 3 weeks of precip between 28 and 34 degrees in town. So we're basically asking for another December.
Sean Brown now with Alaska Heliskiing is also watching the weather. He said in an email that there are some upsides to the conditions. The snowpack is locked up and any weak layers have been ridged by a thick frozen crust, he said. But snow is still needed. He's hoping for a normal start to the season if it arrives. Both companies might be relieved to know that their wish might be on the way. Chances of snow are forecasted for Thursday night and Friday around Haines, with temperatures to remain in the teens. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday, and on the agenda is the first reading of an ordinance about trapping. The ordinance would add a new chapter to code specifically about trapping. The Civic Affairs Committee met in December and January to take public input and draft the ordinance. Its purpose, according to the ordinance, is to protect citizens and pets from hazardous devices and uncontrolled trapping. Some of the regulations proposed in the ordinance include prohibiting trapping on municipal property within 150 yards in any direction of trails and roadways, requiring all traps to be labeled with the trapper's name and phone number, and requiring warning signs near trap lines. Exceptions would be allowed for scientific work, government agencies required to use trapping, or people with documented animal nuisance problems who get approval from the chief of police. The ordinance says violations would be subject to a civil fine. Under new business, the Assembly will discuss the number of members on the Port Commission. Currently, there is one more person on the commission than allowed by municipal code, according to the manager's report. The Assembly will also discuss the upcoming budget cycle and set meetings to review department budgets. The Skagway Assembly meets on Thursday evening at 7 in Assembly Chambers. You can find a complete agenda and meeting packet online at skagway.org. William Shakespeare probably didn't have this in mind when he imagined his plays being performed.
Hamlet has returned to Denmark, much to the surprise of Claudius, and that Ophelia has drowned herself in a river.
On a cold and dreary evening in southeast Alaska, library patrons gather to read Shakespeare's Hamlet. The catch? They aren't in the same room. If it sounds like Craig librarian Amy Marshall is on a Skype-like connection, that's because she is. Marshall was physically in Craig, but joined online by people at the Haines and Kenai libraries using the Online with Libraries program called OWL for short. OWL connects more than 100 public libraries in Alaska and is used for a variety of programs. People from Nome to St. Paul and Ketchikan can join a clean energy presentation being hosted in Fairbanks. A seminar at the Smithsonian can be simultaneously beamed to any library that wants to join. The recent Shakespeare series was a little different. This event epitomized the program by taking full advantage of the interactivity OWL offers, allowing library patrons across the state to be online and interactive together. Haines Library aide Jedediah Blum-Evitz helped coordinate the Haines group for the Reader's Theater.
I mean, it's super interactive. Usually we've been doing like some form of presentation where so-and-so teaches everybody else such and such, and then there's a questions and answer period afterwards. But this is like, all right, so we're going to start and everybody's going to be talking, and we're going to go back and forth the whole time, and it's just super fun.
Using OWL for a Reader's Theater event is sort of like Skyping with participants in Craig and Kenai, except without that occasional annoying delay or garbled speech, you can get with a less than ideal internet connection in many parts of rural Alaska. That's because the OWL program uses its own internet connection, as Haines Library Director Patty Brown explains.
Basically, yeah, what they're looking at is a very large TV screen. That's what people will assume that it's, but that is connected to one line on the internet, so we have what we would say is uninterrupted speed, so we're able to connect with libraries anywhere, actually.
During the reading of Hamlet and the next week, A Winter's Tale, the participants from Craig and Kenai were projected on the 60-inch screen in Haines. Blum-Evitz put the script on another nearby screen and moved the camera around so the other libraries could see all the Haines participants. And the dramatic or comedic interpretation of Shakespeare's prose came across clear.
Verily, one of them shall be.
Your guest, then, madam, to be your prisoner should impart offending, which is for me less easy to commit than to punish.
While the Reader's Theater is one of the more interactive uses of OWL, Brown says the Haynes Library has taken part in several programs, like an Anchorage Symphony Orchestra lunch program, and other libraries have joined to take part in annual culture days at the Haynes Library. Funding for the OWL program comes from the U.S. State Department, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Rasmussen Foundation, and the Alaska State Library. The dedicated internet connection is provided through a statewide network just for the libraries, which makes it more affordable. Brown says the program has limitless possibilities for what it can offer patrons and residents now.
We are able to offer things that we absolutely did not have the resources for before. So, it's just exciting. And the more that people realize that we have the equipment and they're able to do things, I hope it just gets used more and more.
As for the Reader's Theater, OWL provided a connection for small-town Shakespeare lovers that helped ward off the winter blues.
It is in mine authority to command the keys of all the posterns. Please, Your Highness, to take the urgent hour. Come, sir, away.
Oh, that was quite a scene. Well done.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Special thanks to Casey Kelly for help with this report. Don't forget to join us Thursday at 10 a.m. for Talk Around Town. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.